evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to your latest episode of the Jersnet podcast, the independent Rangers podcast hosted for fans by fans, where all of our content is free. You can get us over at jersnet.co.uk, where you've got access to the forum, some great articles and a wonderful history archive as well. You can also get us over on Twitter at Jersnet Online. We are live tonight, folks, on YouTube this evening. We'd ask that you get involved, like and share, and also comment as well. Just before I introduce my guest this evening, I need to give a shout out to our partners over at Forest Precision Engineering. They're a subcontract Glasgow-based engineering company, and they've been a big commercial supporter of Rangers for many years. We're absolutely delighted that they're backing our podcast. You can get them over at forestprecisioneng.com. And you can also visit the Forest Precision Executive Lounge, a stunning new hospitality area within the historic main stand. For information on how to book this unique and intimate space, you can email the club via hospitality@rangers.co.uk. Joining me tonight to dissect that, well, first half was wonderful, second half was weird, to be nice. Jamie Martin, Jamie, I mean, how are you doing after that?
Been better, as you said. It was, like, I hate saying that old cliche, a game of two halves, but it completely was. It really was. The first half was absolutely outstanding. I mean, the starting 11 for a start. I was a wee bit surprised with just one selection. I know we're going to talk about the starting 11. But Olsen, over the last few games, I know he set up the first goal. And he played decent in the first half, to be fair. But over the last two or three games, I was kind of surprised he started him. I thought he'd maybe have gone with the four at the back that he started. Which I knew was kind of going to be the setup. I knew he'd go with Sterling at right back just to cancel out Maeda. And he did fairly well, Sterling. Suter, Fernandes and Romans at left back, who I really like. Olsen, I was surprised he came in. I thought he'd have gone with Raskin, Chiquani and Dio in the middle, and Mikey Moore behind Nadiri and Chermiti. So for me, probably that was only one selection that I thought out of the 11 was a bit surprising for me.
Yeah, I'll sort of tend to agree with that, Jamie. Olsen hasn't been doing that well the last few games. I did think that Dio might have come in for him, but I suppose in a way, that first half, the starting 11 was justified because that wasn't it what causes the game. I mean, it was tremendous. I mean, I'll probably get quite negative on here tonight, but try and get the positives out of the way first. I mean, we were absolutely brilliant in that first half. Couldn't fault any of the players, apart from maybe not getting that third goal. But first things first, well done for managing to ruin possibly the best Old Firm goal in history. We do need to talk about it, and it is so sad that, you know, if we don't have any success this season, that this goal might not be remembered as it should. But, I mean, what a goal by Chermiti. I mean, the guy is taking an awful lot of slagging by many fans, me included, but he just always shows up in the big occasions. And I mean, what a goal. I mean, look at when that went in, I mean, the whole stadium, you're just looking around at everybody and everybody's just like, what's just happened? It was mental.
It was an absolute beauty. I've seen many cracking Old Firm goals. And from both teams, to be honest. But from a Rangers point of view, I remember it would have been about 1990, when we beat Celtic at Ibrox, 5-1, I think it was, in the end. Ray Wilkins' volley for the edge of the box. I thought that'd be hard to beat at Ibrox for an Old Firm game. And the greatest goal I've ever seen in an Old Firm was the Davy Cooper Drybrough Cup goal, where he's flicking it over heads and just an individual brilliance goal. But I have to say, as soon as that ball hit the net the day, I turned and went, that's the best goal I've seen in an Old Firm game. It was just an absolute gem. Olsen, who we just spoke about there, he flights a great wee ball into the box. He's pitching wedge out. He chips it into the box and it just sits up lovely. It just lofted up lovely for him. He adjusts his feet and what a connection he had. And what a goal. I mean, fair play to the lad. That was a special goal, I have to say. I'd probably rate that number one. David Cooper was 70 the other day. God rest his soul. he was 70, and that was the best goal I'd seen up until that point in an Old Firm. And Ray Wilkins as well, God rest his soul, was an absolute beauty of a volley. That's the three for me that stand out, but that one today was up there.
Nah, it was incredible, to be honest. And again, you're looking at it with a sort of tinge of a regret, because you mentioned those two great goals. Apart from the fact that they were absolute belters of goals, the things that sticks with you is the result in Rangers getting results in those games. And I think this one just, again, it might, you know, if we do go on to somehow win the league, which I think is very, very unlikely now, but maybe that's the only way it could kind of get it back. But I mean, you've got to give Chirmity credit. I mean, it was brilliant. As I say, though, I mean, everybody around me was just speechless. As I say, we're just like, what's just happened?
Aye, it was incredible. And to be honest, see, we came out the traps really early doors, Craig, and we really took the game to them. We were pressing the energy levels, we were positive on the ball, we were looking to get in behind. We were causing them all sorts of problems with Mikey Moore. Mikey Moore in the first half was all over the place. It was absolutely sensational. He was absolutely destroying them. And the two up front, Nadiri, he did okay, but it does allow Chinmiti to get space, and he is definitely better with a foil up front. He plays better with two up front, and I think we look better. I just wish he would have done that last week at Livingston away from home. I think he went too negative. You go and beat Hearts for two up front and you destroy them in the second half comfortably, who are top of the league, and then we go to Livingston and he goes defensive and he plays the one up front, and he needs to be more positive. He needs to learn from these mistakes. Some of the selections over the last month, I'd say particularly, have cost us many points away from home, too many draws, and negativity. He needs to be more positive. But listen, we commit, and that first half was absolutely immense. And by the way, Chimiti's second goal was equally a brilliant goal. Raskin gets up the break on the right-hand side, flicks a ball in the box again, gets a wee bit of a lucky deflection off a defender, and it drops, but he's still got to fight for that ball. And he nicks in front of the defender, and he's deft touch, he's outside his boot to put it round the defender, turn him. And then his second touch, with outside his boot, nets it 2-0 up. See, at that point, Craig, I'm thinking, how many is he going to be here?
Yeah. No, you're spot on, Jamie. And even for the rest of the half, we didn't stop. We kept going and going and going. Fernandez has had that one where he's just put it by the post, and you think, if that goes in, it's game over. And that's after, what, 35-odd minutes? The first half was brilliant, and again, we'll be negative later, but you know, we do need to try and be positive where we can, and just say it was brilliant. And that is a frustrating thing, because we've seen in the first half today, we've seen for large spells of that game at Livingston, we've seen for most of the game against Hearts, and the second half at Parkhead, we've seen what this team can do if, you know, they're firing on all cylinders and, you know, everybody's up for it. But it's just, again, I think people use this word. Maybe it's overused, but I think it's right mentality. I think that causes the day. But that first half was fantastic, and I think maybe if we got that third goal with Fernandez, I think
if we'd have got the third goal, and it was a big chance. I mean, he's got a clear header at goal. Scales, I think, was caught in front of him. And the big fella out jumps him. He times it well, gets a good connection, and misses the target. I mean, if we go in 3-0 at half time, Craig, there's absolutely no way Celtic's coming out and scoring four. I don't see that myself. However, at 2-0, there's always a chance. And the next goal's crucial. If they get a goal, their tails are up. Then we start panicking, the crowd start getting a bit restless, and it caused a bit of, you know, anxiousness. But that was a big chance, and I think that was a turning point in the game. I think if we go in at 3-0, we win that game comfortably. But the wily old fox, Martin O'Neill, at half-time, he makes changes at half-time on 46 minutes, changes the midfield, because our midfield absolutely outclassed them in every department, the whole first half. And Martin O'Neill, you know, he's a wily old fox. He knows the game inside out. He's been a long time in the game. He's made two great decisions for them, bringing Hatate on in the middle of the park because they were getting overrun.
Mm-hmm.
And obviously, Tonetti on the left, and they put Maeda up front, which changed their whole outlook. They looked fresh in the middle of the park. They had legs, and they started really getting a bit of control of the game into the second half. From about 50 minutes onwards, they were really taking the game to us. And I bet you Martin O'Neill was glad at 2-0 at half-time because they were on the ropes. That was what a boxing bout the first half. You know, when a boxer's just waiting, he's getting absolutely battered, and the gum shield's out and everything, and he's going, I can't wait for the bell. Martin O'Neill must have been the same at half-time. He must have been over the moon. Sean Maloney as well must have been delighted. It's only 2-0. We can still get something out of this game. But we need to be more ruthless and finish these games off and punish teams. When we've got that so much self, you know, we've got ourselves in a great position at 2-0 and to come out. I knew at that point that it would be very hard to keep the same energy levels up in the second half. I knew that. There's no way they would come out and they were going to do that. And consistency is a problem for us over the 90 minutes, as you just touched on, Craig. We seem to play one half and then the next half is kind of flat. But that's what I think Danny Rowe needs to learn from an old fox like me. Your decisions when you need to bring people on. I thought after half time, I think he could easily have bought any of the new boys off, apart from Romans. I thought he was comfortable. Chukwuane, I thought, was really poor in the second half. He kept giving the ball away. He looked tired. Nadiri as well looked off the pace as well at that point. And we just looked... And obviously, I think Olsen at that point as well. The three of them, you could really tell that the game had taken its toll on them. I think he could have made the three subs really just after half-time. 5 minutes into it, I would have been looking at those three coming off. I'd probably have still went positive, Craig, and I would have still maybe just throw Miofsky up front. Don't change it. It's working with the two up front. Throw Miofsky up with Chermiti. Put Diomandi in for Chukwuane. And then you're looking at, you know, you've got a good couple of guys to choose from on the bench. Bizrami and that are on the bench. Mm-hmm. You've got a good couple of quality players to bring on there. I think his substitutions cost us today.
Aye.
And I think his negativity is costing us. I think he's got to learn from these mistakes.
No, he does. Chukwuane, you mentioned him. And I know you've said that Fernandez getting that goal or not, scoring that goal was a turning point, which I think's fair, but maybe a wee point in that first half, which a lot of people might not have noticed. There was a point where there was going to be a 50-50 Chukwuane, and I can't remember which Celtic player it was. It might have been Negrin. They were both running into the ball, and Chukwuane was actually, if he just went at his normal pace, he was going to get there first, win the ball back. Crowd would have been, yeah, you know, we're 2-0 up, we're absolutely pumping them, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And he just pulls out. Yeah. He pulls out, and I'm thinking, if you're pulling out a 50-50s mm-hmm. when you're absolutely battering them,
yeah,
that tells you a lot. And for me, maybe not so much a turning point of the game, but that's when there was part of me that's going, right, well wait a minute, as much as this is good, did this team actually have the cojones for this? And I think... The change was wrong. And again, we don't make it until it's too late. Celtic get that goal back, and then we make the change. And it was the wrong change. Diomandi coming on was the right guy to bring on, I think. But
yeah, I agree with that.
He should have brought him on for Chukwuane. He shouldn't have brought him on for Nadiri.
Yeah.
I thought Nadiri was doing good enough. I think you mentioned it earlier. He was a good foil for Chermiti, yeah. And that's where Chermiti works best. And that's where we were getting our best sight of goal.
Mm-hmm.
And again, it was just so negative. And the problem is, you're getting into 60, 65, 70 minutes, it's 2-1. You're then at a point where you're the manager where you're going, do a stick or twist here? And I knew as soon as we got to like 70, 75 minutes, I'm like that, we ain't twisting. We're sticking with us, and we just need to hope to God that they don't equalise.
Yeah.
Unfortunately, that ended up happening. But, I mean... Let's be honest, McCown had a chance about 10 minutes from the end. He should have put away the first goal, and the second goal that Celtic scored was coming. the complete 180 in performances was mental. And I think a big issue for me is, you know, someone, I've seen people mention the team's age. Our team's age today was, I think, 24. Then again, the age of the Celtic team was only 27. Bear in mind, they had Alex Oxlade-Chamberlain in there, who's, what, 32? And normally Arne Engels would be in there, who's 10 years younger than him. So as much I think
what you're touching on there, Craig, is very evident in the Rangers team. There's not enough experience.
Yeah, they had a chance to address that in January.
You need a couple of old heads. And by the way, we just touched on Martin O'Neill being an old head. Danny Rowe's 36. And by the way, I'm not bad-mouthing Danny Rowe because he's changed us round and he's done a tremendous job. However, in the last month, I do think his substitutions and his team selections are questionable. And I hope he learns from it. But we do like a little bit of nous and an old head in the middle of the park or somebody that's just, you know, knows how to get games over the line. Because that should have been a 3 points for us today, Craig.
No, of course. And I mean, I know Danny Rowe's a young manager and whatnot, and he has done well to get his back in the race. But again, my kind of attitude of this has been, Danny Rowe was brought in to get his back into a title race. He was brought in to win us a title. He was brought in to win us cups. Yeah. Unless we have just all of a sudden backtracked on what this club is supposed to be all about. We're all about winning. And I get this whole, oh, we wouldn't have been in a title race without him or whatever. That's fine. See, to be quite honest, whether we're 20 points behind Celtic or Hearts or one goal behind Celtic or Hearts, I don't care. You're still not won the league. It's the same result, whether you're third or second or fourth. It's the same for me, and it's the same for most Rangers fans. Mm-hmm. So as much as he has done well to get us back into contention, at the same time, we have thrown it away over the last one. Those three, well, four games now, Hibs, Motherwell, Celtic, Livingston. More so for me, I'll take the Livingston game as a bit of an anomaly, because as I say, you can have games like that in football. Hibs at Easter Road, we did not show up. We went there happy to take a 0-0, which for me was embarrassing. Motherwell started brilliantly, went a goal up. It was the same. Sit back, we'll try and take the 3 points. Didn't work. You mentioned there, Jamie, about the manager learning lessons. Now, as much as he's a young manager, I'm younger than him, sorry, Danny. But, you know, if I can see these things and other people who have got nowhere near the experience that he has, why can he not see that after that Motherwell game a few weeks ago? Because that game today was like a carbon copy of it.
Yeah. No, I touched on that Livingston game earlier, and you said it was right. The Hibs game away, Motherwell away. Very fortunate. You know, we could have come away for the games beat on the day. We're fortunate to get draws. And I just thought last week was an ideal chance to go and play the bottom elite team and really play the two up front and just go and smash them, as we did against Hearts. The last month has been disappointing, because we got ourselves right in the frame. And the last month, as I said there, we've gone, I think, the last 12 games unbeaten, Craig. But alarmingly, we've only won two out of the last six games. And this is a spell of the season where you need to go and win these games. You can't be going to these clubs like Livingston's and Drones. You're talking a team at the bottom of the league there. Come on, we should be going hammering them. I just think the draws are going to cost us in the end. And now we've got ourselves in a situation where we're hoping that Hearts are going to slip up. And that's never a good situation. It'd been, I like to be in control of it. We were in good control there. You know, if we'd have won that, get over the line today, we're only 4 points behind them. And they've got a couple of tricky games coming up, Hearts, and we could have maybe, you know, closed that gap. But it makes it more difficult now with that draw today.
Yeah, I mean, it's obviously not fatal, but it's, you know, up there, mentality-wise, for everyone, it's just, you know, it's scunning, because I think what we should in that second half today, that was the thoughts that we had in the back of our heads, kind of knowing deep down that was probably most likely going to happen at one point or another.
Yeah.
And again, I said it off air, you know, that Celtic team are no good. And I'm not here trying to, you know, be bitter or anything like that. That is not a good Celtic team. Celtic fans tell you that it's not a good Celtic team. The Celtic manager, before he got the job, was on TalkSport saying that Hearts were going to win the league. So if Rangers, who have went and spent, what, 30, 40 million quid in the last two transfer windows, if we can't go and beat them, being 2-0 up and absolutely battering them, yeah, when are you going to beat them in a game like this? And, I mean, Hearts as well. Hearts have had a great season for Hearts standards, okay? But I think they're on to get maybe 83, 84 points. Nine seasons out of 10, 83, 84 points does not win you the league. The reason that Hearts are top is because, yeah, they've been fairly consistent, and, you know, give them credit for that. But Rangers and Celtic have been absolutely shocking. In most circumstances, 83, 84 points is a failure of a season for Rangers or Celtic. So all Rangers had to be this season was a wee bit better than your average for second. And we're below that after spending all that money. And yeah, I think it's inexperience. We've got inexperienced players with potential, and we've also got an inexperienced manager with potential.
Yeah.
And I think that's the second part in that as well, potential. I'm not here saying that we can't go on and do good things, because you do see something in Chinwendu, Gassama, Nadiri, even Asgard, who never came on today, but he's done a couple of good things this season. You can see there's something there. It's the same with Danny Rowe. You can see there's something there, but I just think that inexperience is going to be what cost us when you compare it to the likes of Celtic, Martin O'Neill, Callum McGregor, and even at Hearts with the likes of Derek McInnes.
Yeah. No, as we touched on it earlier, I think you definitely need a couple of guys involved that's got that experience, just to get games over the line. I mean, it needs to be a little bit cuter, Danny Rowe, for me. At half-time, you're 2-0 up. Your team talk is you're trying to say to your players, right, keep the same intensity up. We've run our bollocks off here for the whole 45 minutes. We've controlled that game. But we have to go in the second half and class this game, treat it as a 0-0. Rangers commit. First 5 minutes, they did okay. And then we just took the gloves off, and we took, you know, everybody's just down tools. The energy levels went. As I said, Martin O'Neill's changes, he did the two changes in the middle of the park, as we spoke about earlier, made a massive difference. And then he brings McGowan on and Forrest, and McGowan had a chance, and James Forrest obviously flights the ball into the box that caused the penalty. So his subs worked, our subs didn't they? And that was the difference today.
Yeah. Mikey Moore, want to try and be positive again, Jamie. Mikey Mill was excellent. Steve, for an 18-year-old, by the way.
Really?
Unbelievable. He especially in that first half, and you know what, even in the second half, for me, Rollins was probably the best player for us in that second half. Not that there was many. I think Mikey Mill was a close second for effort more than anything.
Yeah.
I mean, he was completely gone, but again, he's 18 years old. Do you know what I mean? What do you expect? But that first half, I mean, he was brilliant. The ball was sticking to him. He was taking players on. It was exactly everything that you wanted him to be when that move got announced in the summer.
Oh, absolutely. I've got a lot of time for Mikey Moore. I think he's growing and growing and growing week in, week out. He's performing well in the big games. He scored against Celtic at Parkhead the last time, when the big Chermiti got another two in that game. Seems to turn up in the big games, the big fella. I just wish he could go and get a couple of eagles against the lower league clubs and just, you know, take his tally up a bit. But getting back to that, yeah, I think if I was Andrew Kavanagh, Craig, I think I'd be having a discussion. Now, I met Dan Purdy a few weeks back at the Motherwell game, and we're having a few discussions about players and stuff like that. And I said to Dan, I says, if there's any truth and Nico Raskin getting involved with Tottenham. Now, I know there's two clubs in London, particularly. Brentford was one of them, and Tottenham were sniffing about Raskin. Rangers, to be fair to them, I thought they held out. They could have gone in. He could have gone in January, and I was really chuffed with Andrew Kavanagh and the board because they could have accepted a bid for him, which I believe was in the region of 15 million, and they've held out because they thought we'll keep our best player in the middle of the park till the end of the season. We'll probably get top dollar for him when he goes to the World Cup with Belgium, and we'll try and keep our best 11 on the park. And I'm glad they never caved in, because many managers or many boards, so to speak, would have just took that money and ran. But I'm glad they held out. But I think if I was involved at Rangers as an agent or a club scout, I would be having that discussion with Tottenham if there's any truth in it. And I'd be saying, let's just do a swap. Give us Mikey Moore and you can have Raskin tomorrow. Because Mikey Moore makes all the difference for us. He's our best number 10. His offensive play is just another level. The boy runs at people. He commits defences, which is hard to see. You don't get much of that these days. Players that can just really glide past people. He was gliding past people today with ease. He reminded me of Brian Laudrup at times. His quick feet, just good movement. And what I do think about him as well, mate, his defensive qualities. He's not a young boy that just wants the ball. And he's not like a Joe Cole was. Joe Cole came alive when he got the ball. And his defensive duties just weren't there at all. But this boy's got it all. He works back, he tracks back, he defends, he covers some amount of grass. And his ability is second to none, mate. If we can't do a deal with the Raskin situation, I would certainly be asking now, can we have him next season on loan? Because I think Rangers without him would struggle a wee bit. Definitely, he's our outlet. He's our number 10. He's our creator. He scores goals. He creates goals. Causes havoc. And I would love to see Rangers get a hold of him next year.
Mm-hmm. And I hear people going, you know, it's unrealistic, blah, 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 blah. I mean, why? How is it unrealistic? We always seem to think of that. I mean, let's be honest, as much as we love Mikey Moore, he'll go back to Tottenham in pre-season and he won't get a sniff. He won't get a sniff there because they'll probably sign some guy for 50 or 60 million quid in the same position and they'll say he's playing ahead of you. Do you want to go out and loan again? Now, by all accounts, Mikey Moore loves it here. He wants to be here. I wouldn't speak on behalf of him, but that's what seems to be the word going about. Why can we not make a big bid? Now, we're in a position where financially we can. And maybe we will need to push the boat out a wee bit. Maybe we will need to bid 15, 20 million pounds and make it a club record fee. But do you know what? Sometimes you just need to go and do that. We're in a position now where we can do that. We're well within the sort of financial fair play parameters to go and make a sort of big marquee signing like this. And even getting them back on loan, to be honest, if you offered me him back on loan next season, I would 100% take it. The only problem with that is, I think if he goes on to us on loan next season, he'll have an even better season. And then instead of him being a 15, 20 million pound player than what he is now, he's a 35, 40 million pound player. And that's maybe when he comes out of a reach. I think this summer, if I've got any chance of getting him permanently, I think this is our chance. And maybe it is unrealistic. Maybe we are pushing out a wee bit, but why not? We need to have ambition. We need to at least ask the question. And that's what I mean. I'm not going out and saying we must do this, we must do that. Because at the end of the day, Spurs say no, we can only offer a certain amount, and that's fine.
Yeah.
But for God's sake, try.
I think I would definitely be asking the question. I would be saying, is there anybody of interest? And Raskin, we touched on there. If there's a genuine interest, I'd be looking to do a deal with a swap. Because as you say, if Mikey Moore goes back to Tottenham, he'll not play every week. He might get in the squad, he'll play bit part games, maybe in cup games, and not because I don't think he's good enough. I just don't think down there they take chances on young kids. They don't give them starts, particularly at Tottenham's and teams of that kind of calibre. I would definitely be asking the question. There's no harm in asking. You don't ask, you don't get in life, Craig. If I was involved with Rangers, I'd certainly be asking, can we have a chat? Can we have some sort of discussion on Mikey Moore? because we want to keep him here. And can we do some sort of deal? Because he makes a difference for us. He definitely does.
No, he has been, absolutely. Mentioned him there, Jamie, a wee bit off track, but Nico Raskin. And again, first half today, brilliant.
Yeah.
Second half, non-existent, doesn't show up. I think when you're talking about potential bids from the English Premier League and keeping them in January, I think when you look at his performances over the last sort of month or two, there's a lot of fans going, oh my God, should we have just kept him? Sorry, should we have just sold him?
Yeah.
And again, Raskin, he's one of those players that I do like him, but he's too inconsistent for me. And again, some of the stuff that he does on the pitch, you're hearing rumours, unsubstantiated, of him, you know, in the tunnel after the game, going up and finding the Celtic players. You see them after the game getting involved. You're just like, after your performance, mate, just get up the tunnel and just take it. Do you know what I mean?
You'd rather see him take that aggression.
Yeah, do it on the pitch.
I agree with you.
Exactly.
He did it the first half. Boy played well first half. He was
doing
a play, getting tackles. He was involved in the goals. I thought he was excellent first half. But as you say, consistency for us as a whole squad seems to be a problem over the 90 minutes. And that needs to be addressed by the club. They need to look at that and say, you know, what's going on here? Because there's too many players playing for 45 minutes and not playing for 70, 80 minutes, right? If you run your arse off for 70, 80 minutes and you say, I'm blowing a gasket here. And there was a few of them, by the way. A few of them had blown a gasket by the 60, 70 minutes. They run out of steam, they look fatigued. They actually look, some of them looked as if they beat a European game on Thursday night. we look fatigued, and I thought he could have changed a couple of subs. I thought about bringing Mijovski up front, as I said, and Bezrami in for Olsen really early doors. And I took Nadiri, probably Chikwani and Olsen off early doors. And I'm talking within the 50, 55 minute stage.
Aye.
They looked battered. They looked run out of steam. If you've got three players running on red diesel, Craig, that's a hard graft.
No, I know.
You've got to see that as a manager straight away, mm-hmm. as a coach, and change that.
See, on that though, Jamie, when we're talking about players running themselves into the ground and maybe being tired, and again, this is off probably a wee bit, but, and it's not specific for Rangers here, but modern football in general, I mean, we've been in a rare position for a modern Rangers team the last few weeks where it's been one game a week for the last sort of 3 weeks.
Yeah.
20, 30 years ago, in fact, I would say even 15 years ago, towards the end of Walter's second spell, you know, there was plenty of players that were capable of playing a game a week, sometimes two games a week. But now it's all, we need to rotate, we need to do this, we need to do that. And when you look at injuries as well, I mean...
Big, it does my head in.
Aye, hamstring injuries, for example. Nobody knew what a hamstring was 40 years ago.
Aye, it does my head in. I listen to this excuse all the time. In fact, one of my wee pals played in the reserves with me at Rangers, Craig Flanagan. He's one of the first team coaches. He does all the sports science stuff and the fitness stuff and stuff like that. And I've many discussions with Craig about this. He has his theories and I have mine. And I always say to him, look, I'm not being funny. These guys are playing, if they're playing two games a week. If they're playing Saturday and midweek and then you're basically playing three games in a week. They're not doing much training. All they're doing is getting in for a wee warm down. They're stretching off, doing a wee bit. They're not overexerting themselves. And to be honest, I'm just not buying it, mate. I'm not buying it. You get people like Barry Ferguson's, and I'm going to touch on this, and this is what we're missing in the teams, I believe. We are missing homegrown talent that get real bollocks. And that means people that's going to play with injuries, through injuries, nobody happy to go and sit on the bench and take their money. I mean, you go back to even like Davey Weir. Davey Weir was 41 year old and played every game in the season. Injured, knocks all over the place.
Easy.
And the list goes on. And do you know what it is, mate? I totally believe this. I don't think players are made, as my old man would say, they're not made for Iron Brew these days, son. Right? They just don't want to know. If they can get a chance to just take a wee break and then somebody says, he's run so many miles this week, he needs to be rested. Bollocks. You've got 9 games of the season left. Just rest them. Tell them they're going to have a day off the next day. I'm not buying it, mate. I just don't like this theory of people being, you know, saying that they can't run for this amount of minutes or that amount of minutes. He has to be rested at a certain point. I'm sorry. When you're 9 games into a season, 9 games left of a season, rather, it's time to roll the sleeves up, Craig. I'm sorry. I'm not having it.
No, no. And I've seen a clip for an interview with John Terry a few days ago where he's saying that throughout his whole career, he was 100% fit 5 times.
Yeah.
And I'm thinking that guy played for like 20 years for Chelsea and England and Aston Villa, week in, week out, 2 games a week, international, going to World Cups, going to European Championships. And I think his era, you know, David Weir was sort of about that same time as well. That was probably the last era of sort of football.
They're wrapped in cotton wool now, Craig.
Aye.
They're wrapped in cotton wool. They're mollycoddled. They've got all this theory of them.
Ah, well, there we go. Wrapped up in cotton wool. We'll wait for Jamie to get back, but I do agree with that, to be quite honest. If he does come back, I'll be back in.
Yeah, we're back, mate.
You were getting too angry. Your camera was steaming up because you were getting that raging about it.
Oh, I'm raging, mate. I'm just not buying all this nonsense. And honestly, you're right. See, John Terry's not that. They have hearts of a lion. Even back in our day, right? When you go back to look at the real leaders at Rangers Football Club, and I'm talking real leaders, which we need at the moment. I'm talking the likes of Terry Butchers, Graham Roberts, Richard Goffs, Bomber Brown. The list goes on. Ian Ferguson's. Durant, Derek Ferguson, all Rangers boys who would have played through thick and thin, mate. And I know many players who played with Knox they shouldn't have played, but they just gritted their teeth and they were out there, rolled their sleeves up, and they were made of the old Iron Brew, as my old man says. You know, they wanted it. And that's the difference. I think a lot of players now are made for the same stuff.
Aye. It's not just the Rangers, it's a modern day football
issue. Absolutely.
It's a modern day football issue. It's not just us, but I just thought that would have been interesting. But moving on to the penalty decision then, Jamie. Again, look, you've got what, a minute to go.
Oh.
It's one of the ones, look, it's a modern day penalty. Look, I suppose it's the rules and in terms of the laws of the game, it is a penalty, but what a stupid rule, what a stupid law. To think that an Old Firm game is basically being decided on a decision like that.
Yeah.
That they've had to go to VAR, and John Beaton was at that monitor for a while.
Mm-hmm.
You know, if he's at that monitor for more than, he was there for a minute or two, if you're having to watch that back 9, 10, 11 times,
yeah,
it's not clear and obvious, but I'm not here to have a moan at John Beaton or the referees. We were the masters of our own downfall today, but it's a modern-day penalty. But just because, you know, it is the rules, doesn't mean to say that I can't be annoyed at the rules itself.
Yeah. No, it's an annoying rule. There's a couple of wee rules in the games now that I think spoil the game. But that's certainly one of them. I've not been, you know, it's not been biased or anything like that. It's a very harsh one. I think the reason... Well, you know yourself, as soon as VAR look at this and say to the ref, come and have a look at it, you're kind of going, oh no. You've got a gut feeling that they're running over to the pitch, you kind of know in your own heart that he's going to be, John Beaton's going to be looking at that, and he's going to say, it's a pen by the new rules, strikes his arm, his left arm, and it is going towards target. I totally believe that Jack Butland had that covered anyway. I think that's probably why John Beaton looked at that so long. He's thinking, would Jack Butland still have saved that? I personally think he was, because I looked at it 3 or 4 times and his positional sense was there. He was covering it. Harsh penalty, but the letter of the law, it is a penalty nowadays, unfortunately. It went against us. But as you said, we brought it on ourselves because we were on the ropes at that time. They had two or three good chances. I think they had about 18 shots, seven shots saved by Butland, as opposed to our two from their goalie. He was never getting near any of the Nadiri goals anyway. But you look at the chances. And in actual fact, for us dominating that first half so well, Celtic actually had 55% of possession the whole game. So when you look at that, that's a wee bit worrying, because I don't, like you said earlier, Craig, I think Celtic are not a good side. They don't worry me. I don't look at them and I think, do you know what? I did this a few weeks ago. I had a discussion with Charlie Miller and the boys on the other podcast, and I was discussing it. And how I used to analyse teams was, I used to always say to myself, and I can go back to when Russell Martin was manager. I hate talking about him, by the way, because he was a disgrace. Right? But I look back at that and I go, how many Rangers teams would have got in the Celtic starting 11, you know, a couple of months into the season? We'd probably have said two, right? And the two for me would have been the goalie, Butland, and probably Raskin at the time. No other player would have got in the Celtic starting 11 at that point. How that has changed, totally flipped round for me now. When I look at Celtic squad and I look at the Rangers squad, I'm actually going the other way now. So credit to Dan Earl and the Kavanaghs of this world. They have changed it round. And now, to be honest, I look at the Celtic squad and I go, a couple of them, maybe get in our starting 11 now. So we've come a long way, but we have to get these games over the line. And we have to punish teams, and we have to have more killer instinct. And we have to be like sharks in blood-fested water. We have to be more hungry and know how to get games over the line, because it's going to cost us.
Mm-hmm. Well, you speak about sharks, Jamie. I think after Butland's double penalty save, I think the defenders were acting like dolphins rather than sharks.
Do you know, Craig, I looked at that, right? The boy slots away the penalty after his third attempt, by the way, I must add. Right, it's six shots in goal, Hatate all game. Right, three of them were from the penalty. So that's the penalty he saves. He gets the rebound. He saves the rebound. And I'll tell you what, I'm looking around and I'm going, where's your player's reaction? But that was the whole story of the second half, Craig. See, second balls, we were nowhere near them. We were anticipating balls breaking. Some rule of a penalty getting taken against you. You start your run outside the box if you're defending it. So you've got momentum. So if it does come out to the keeper, you've got somebody right on top of that ball trying to clear it. The only one near it was Sterling, and he was miles off it. None of us reacted quick enough. Going back to, did they want it enough? Now, there was two or three Celtic players on that ball first. Maeda was first, and there was a couple, Maeda, McGowan. The three of them were out the traps, and we were nowhere to be seen. And I felt sorry for Butland because he had a couple of great saves. He deserved a little bit of help for his defence there.
I know. And the lady in front of me, she was turning around and saying, there's no way he's going to save this, law of averages. She went, he saved too many. And of course, of course he does save it, and then he saves it again. I mean, it was one of those games today. There were so many things that you've just never seen anything like it before. I can't remember sort of a double penalty save like that in an Old Firm game. And even the third shot that Hatate hits, I'm sure it's like two shots that he hits for that one, rather than, because it's not a clean swipe at it.
Absolutely.
Crazy. It was mental. And I mean, Butland's distribution, to be fair, today was absolutely rank rotten. It was rubbish. But the guy, to be fair to him, more often than not in the big moments when it comes to those sort of saves, he does pull it off. And he done it with the McCown one as well. And McCown should have done better to score it. But at the same time, I think Butland sort of expertly put him off in that sense. And I was the same, Jamie. I did feel sorry for him, because when you've got someone like that in goals and they've done that, you need players there to be... Even, it's a fact, as you say, like, there was no one even near it. You know what I mean? Like...
No, if somebody got
in, right, and then it hit off a tatty and it hit off them and Barton, all right, I mean, it's crap, but, you know, you've at least shown the desire that you wanted to get in and stop it.
just yeah, you've got to show
lack
some
of desire. It was
it wasn't there at all on that penalty. I couldn't believe that nobody was followed up. I always remember one of my coaches years ago at Rangers, actually, funnily enough, John McGregor, the ex-Liverpool player, came in under Souness, and he was reserve coach, and always took what he said on a penalty. I used to play centre midfield, and he would, you know, he'd tell people where to be at certain situations. On the penalty kicks, he told every one of us, anybody on the edge of the box, you start your run 5 yards out of the box, so you're at full pelt for that rebound, and you're reacting, and you're in there first. We were all stood still. I was like, what is going on here? But as I said, we were like that second half. They were winning a lot of second balls. They were first to every second ball, and we just ran out of steam.
Yeah, just one of those ones today. In terms of the manager, I did want to talk about this because I was really annoyed with his decisions today. More so the subs. I was annoyed a few weeks ago at Motherwell.
Mm-hmm.
I must admit, there's a couple of dissenting shouts tonight, but that's always going to be. I mean, it wouldn't matter if it was flipping Walter Smith or Danny Rowe that was in charge of Rangers. If, you know, you draw a game being 2-0 up against Celtic, you're always going to get people calling for your head. But I do fear that if we can't get the job done next week in the Scottish Cup, he's going to be under a severe amount of pressure to win this championship. A championship, by the way, that after today, he doesn't have any control over it anymore. We can win every single game. We can go to Parkhead. We can go to Tynecastle. Can beat Motherwell. Even if we win the rest of our 9 games, we still might not win the league. So, I mean, I don't want to get ultra negative, but I think for a few fans, they're just going to be saying, well, he's just like, come on, he's just like Gio, he's a nice guy, he's done well to an extent, but maybe he's just not got it. And I think next Sunday, it was always going to be huge anyway, but it takes on even more of a significance now for the manager, because I think if we end this season with nothing, it's not a good look, and he is going to be under severe pressure.
Mm-hmm. No, I agree. As we touched on earlier, he's got a lot to learn on. I know he's 36, he's a young guy. He's done a lot of good. There's no doubt about that. His track record's good. You know, his recent run, we're unbeaten at home under Danny Rowe. Don't forget
we've only lost one league game since he's came in.
That's what I mean.
On the face of it, you go, oh, that's brilliant. But then at the same time, you look at
the negativity of particularly away from home has cost us.
Yeah.
And a couple of times I have questioned his starting 11. I still think we're lacking a real dominant centre back. I like Big Fernandez. I think he's come on a ton. A couple of the goals today, I think he was just caught wrong side. Suter as well. I still think the centre back's a problem for us. I think when he's really a real leader at the back, a kind of Richard Gough type, Davy Weir, somebody that can just really organise and go and look. You touched on John Terry earlier. See that, John Terry? I lived in London for 25 years, as you know, and Chelsea were my team down there because I went there with John Spencer. And I used to go and watch Chelsea regularly. And I'll tell you what, John Terry, what a leader. Not the best passer of a ball, not brilliant technically, but he knew what he could bring to the table. He was a winner, and we lack that at the back. I think we need a real, real dominant centre-back who's a real bully and somebody that organises the defence. Because the goals we're losing, even against Hearts, the goals that, you know, we just shouldn't be conceding these goals. The organisation at the back, balls are going between players and players are looking at each other. There's nobody really taking charge, especially balls coming in the box. And that six-yard box, we need to be really more dominant, and it's costing us. We're leaking goals, and it's they've got to look to shore that defence up. Next season, I'd certainly be looking at a real dominant centre back to really bolster the centre defence.
Mm-hmm. I think we need that now, an out and out number six that can that can do that job. I know we're linked with a couple in, excuse me, January, but for me, that's no Raskin. Raskin isn't a six. Raskin, for me, is an eight. He's a box-to-box midfielder. He's a lot better going forward. If you need him when there's tons of injuries to play the six, all right, that's fine. But Conor Barron today, actually, I think we missed him a lot in the midfield. I think he would have brought a lot of energy, a lot of aggression. Again, his final product is not quite there yet, but he gives you that sort of basic sort of aggression level that you need. So I think defensively, number six, we're desperate for. Scott Olsen, I mean, it was a great cross today. And that's the thing with him, like, you think of the two assists that he's had, two absolute crackers in the two biggest home games of the season. So you do need players like that. Even Chermiti, he's been terrible for most of the season, but he shows up in the big games. You need players like that in squad. So these guys have shown that they can do something, but I think a number six and a centre half. Moving forward, Jamie, then, just in terms of where it leaves us for the league. Well, do you think it leaves us? I'm not confident now. For me, I know the general consensus seems to be that it's all Hearts. Don't underestimate and don't underwrite Celtic. They'll get experience of doing this. Motherwell have had a great season, that's fine. Doesn't matter. When you play a team that's just to having it all their own way and winning, even when they're not at their best, they can still get the job done, and they basically done that today. I still think Hearts are going to slip up. That might be me really disrespecting them, by the way, but you know, I still think they're going to slip up. I just really feel today that instead of handing the title to Hearts, I've got a bad feeling that we've handed it to Celtic, and I hope I'm wrong, but that's kind of where I'm at on it.
Well, it's still in Hearts' hands. You know, there's nine games left now, Craig, and they've, on paper, you would, before the split, they're looking like they've got the easier running on paper. Having a look at that, I mean, they sneaked that winning Saturday against Aberdeen. They seem to be getting over the line as well. Derek McInnes and Braga seems to keep conjuring up these last minute, you know, we wonder goals. He's a player I would look at for Rangers. If we can't
secure, you know what, it puts me in mind an action oval, just to everything about.
If we cannot secure Mikey Moore for next season, I think I'd certainly be looking at Braga. I think he's in the division. He looks a little bit of a class act. Wears a 10, good 10 player. He's got a bit about him. And they've got a couple of key players coming back with Shankland and that. They're coming back at the right time. As I said, they've got an easier run on paper. I think they go to Kilmarnock, which is a tricky one down at Rugby Park on the AstroTurf. They then have Dundee at home. Big Elvis, Big Stevens, he's kind of on a bad run with Dundee. They're quite a hard team to beat. He's got them organised. That'll not be easy. Then Hearts go to another AstroTurf. They go to Livingston. And then they go to, which I think will be the key game of this season, is the Hearts v Motherwell at Tynecastle. That's the fourth game before the split. So that'll be a real test for them, because I've been really impressed with Motherwell this season. I think they're a really good side. They're great to watch. He's got them playing some great stuff. And defensively, their record's the best in the league. So I think that'll be a real test for Hearts. There's still twists and turns in this league, Craig. There's no doubt in my eyes about that. And we've got a couple of tricky games as well. You know, we're going to, obviously, after the cup game next week, we need to get through that. We need to be winning that game next week. That's a must win, because that kind of cements us getting to the semi-final and then hopefully into the final and winning that. So for me, that's a cup final next week. We need to win that. And then we go to St Mirren. They're obviously won the League Cup. They're a tricky team to beat down in Paisley. They're a hard outfit to beat. St Mirren, he's got them organised. Stevie Robinson, they're hard to break down. And then we're at home to Aberdeen, I believe. Third game in, I think, if I'm correct in saying, we played Dundee United, who we've struggled against this season. We've drawn with them on a couple of occasions, and we seem to just struggle against them for some reason. And then we go to, which I think, the fourth game on this before the split for both teams, Hearts and Rangers, are big tests. Hearts obviously play Motherwell at Tynecastle, and we go to Falkirk. They're doing really well. That's going to be a real test. I remember the game at the beginning of the season. That was Russell Martin's kind of time to walk a shame across the pitch time, and we were very fortunate to get a draw that day, 2-2. And Falkirk playing good stuff, and all the two games, I think that's going to be the key pivotal time of the season. But we've got ourselves into a situation now where we're hoping Hearts slip up. And Celtic have obviously got that game in hand, Craig. So it takes us, you know, we're 6 points behind Hearts, 2 behind Celtic at the moment. And if they go and win their game in hand, I believe it's against Aberdeen, isn't it? You know, they go ahead there as a point. So it's a big ask now. But we have to go and, we basically just have to go and win every game now and hope that the others slip up. I do think there'll still be twists and turns, as I said, for sure.
Mm-hmm. No, I think so. As I say, it's not fatal today, but it does feel like a really sore one. But as you say, look, there is going to be plenty of twists and turns. Try and end it on a bit of a positive note. I know I did say earlier, even if we do win the 9 games, you know, we might still not win the league. Realistically, though, I do think if we do win our last 9 games, we will probably win it. Because I don't think any other teams would be able to muster up a run like that. The problem is, are we capable of doing that? Well, do you know what? We're going to find out soon enough. We need to start winning games now, starting from the cup game next week against Celtic, and move forward. I don't care how we do it. Just keep winning games. But quite simply put, we cannot afford any more slip-ups. For me, one more slip-up, it's done. That is it. And then you could even be looking at Motherwell, by the way. So we need to be on our guard. We need to be careful. But at the same time, the Rangers, I still think that on our day, sorry to paraphrase a Celtic player for the other day, but on our day, I think we've got the best team in the league at the moment. The problem is, it's just the consistency. You know, Celtic having to beat Hearts this season. As much as today was a sore one, we're still unbeaten against Celtic in the league. So,
I would agree with you. We have definitely got, I would say, the best 11 players. I think we've definitely got the strength and depth. When you look at our bench, you know, we've got Barron to come back, you've got Miosky on the bench, Bezrami. You know, we've got some real quality, strength and depth now. And I do believe we have got the strongest squad in this division. But consistency is a major problem for us. And I just think, we touched on it earlier, we just lack a couple of old heads. Mm-hmm. That experience, which is, I think, just nurture them over that line on occasions, which is needed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. But hey-ho, bad day at the office, Jamie, but we're not dead yet. We keep
fighting. It's almost like a defeat today, isn't it? Really, when you it feels like a defeat. Personally, it feels like a defeat. But as you say, we're unbeaten against them, and it's not all lost. And Danny Rowe's records, you know, it is good. But I just hope these draws don't cost us
too many.
And that clown, Russell Martin, 8 or 9 draws early in the season? My God, they were always going to take its toll at some point, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Far too many games drawn under him.
Yeah.
But there you go.
Aye, as I say, we're down, but we're not quite dead yet. But I think we'll end up on that one then. Rob and Alan will be on Friday, guys, to preview that huge cup tie against Celtic on Sunday at Ibrox. Thanks very much for tuning in. Jamie, thanks for joining me. It's always been a pleasure.
Oh, been a pleasure, guys. Thanks so much.
And thanks to the guests at home. We'll see you soon, guys. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.